Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. At hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
Welcome to the Barcelona Podcast, episode 116. A Missile Opinions brought to you by the most influential voices in the FC Barcelona community. I'm Dane Hilton, as always, and I'm joined by a guy that has become a little bit of a bigger deal, at least, since we had him on last. And I'm happy to welcome back still of the Barcelona football blog's own and a Twitter powerhouse in his own right, but now also The Athletic's Kevin Williams. Welcome back, Kevin.
Hi, yo, Dan. Thanks for having me. It's fun. Let's get this thing rolling, right?
Absolutely. And we'll pitch some of your other stuff at the end. But first, we have to get right into it with La Gran Pregunta. And this is actually based on an article that you wrote for the Barcelona football blog. And we'll have links in the description in the show notes for that stuff. But it's based on yesterday's game at this point with Carlos Alenia. And depending on when you're putting this in your ears, the big idea that still permeates is how does Valverde handle the youth players? Of course, that was the big story, that Carlos Alenia comes into the game, winds up, you know, having a starring role. He might not have been the man of the match as Dembele or Piqué might have been, but Alenia, again, gets the goal that puts it away. It's 2-0. It comes on the back of a long-term injury to Alenia, where he's now, of course, still obviously registered, not obviously, but he's still registered as a B player, and he sits on the bench against PSV. Fans are and culés are wondering, why wasn't he in that game? But then in a pivotal moment against Villarreal, he's put in the game. Same thing came against Real Betis, where he was, it was his other substitute appearance in the Liga this season. He's S2, where he played the last 21 minutes of that game. And it does make you wonder, and that's the immediate question, that does Valverde necessarily trust Alenia? It looks like he trusts him, but why isn't he utilizing him in different situations? So again, that's the big picture here. We'll start with Alenia. How does Valverde handle youth players? Then we'll head on to some other ones. But let's start there with Alenia, Kevin.
So I think that this whole notion about Valverde and youth players, particularly Alenia, is rooted in this weird pathological dislike that coolers have for their head coach. He has handled that player just fine. He's brought him along properly. He's had him playing with B to get his fitness back, and most crucially, getting his confidence back. If you look at the B team record with and without Alenia, it's a huge difference, and that's solely because there's no question about that player's quality, right? But keep in mind that you also have that massively talented first-team roster, right? If you're looking at where you sub a player in, where you bring a guy in, certainly as talented right now as that guy might be, where do you play him, right? I mean, Rakitic, Vidal, Busquets? No, right? So you have to find the right time to work these guys in. I mean, people going nuts about the way Valverde handles the youth just don't realize that A, matches are a lot tighter, and B, and this is something that I don't see eye to eye with as regards many supporters, is what youth guy right now is really good enough to crack that first team except for Alenia.
And you'd have to believe too that with the amount of time that Alenia was with Barca B, it was now at this point 2.5 seasons he was with the Barcelona B team. He's this season, as you had mentioned, recovering with 8 appearances, 3 goals, 1 assist for Barca B. And that's the big note that you also mentioned, that they have been so much better when he has been on the field. He's also been in 1 Copa del Rey appearance, but he had missed the first 7 matches of the season before his return in September. So he misses the whole preseason, and that really does put you on the wrong foot forward heading into the season. And that is the important note, that between the other guys, the next, we'll say the next up with the talent at Barcelona B, whether it be Richie Puig, Oriol Busquets, obviously also coming back from injury. He's probably the second guy in line, you have to say, and a guy who's been with the Barca B team for a while. Chumi, Abel Ruiz, and Iñaki Peña. So basically guys at every position on the field are next in line. But as you mentioned, in a deep, and it's funny because you think about the summertime, Valverde had even said, I want less players in my first team to utilize a B team, but then the squad winds up still being, you know, a pretty deep team. And yet Barcelona, with this glut of injuries, it feels like, I don't know, do you think that it's Valverde trusts Alenia, and even if everyone was healthy, he might have been put in that game against Villarreal, or was it merely to a point that due to the injury to Rafinha and Arthur's injury as well, do you think it's due to those kind of situations, that's why Alenia got the call in that game?
Both, right? I think that he has this unique skill set, right? If you look at the game Arthur plays, for example, right now, most of his passes would be classified as possession passes, right? Where you make the safe ball, you keep things moving, but you're not really penetrating, you're not really making forward runs, you're not doing any of that stuff. The more typical controller type, if we use Xavi as the archetype, did. Rafinha is more of a shell type player between the lines. He's certainly talented in midfield. He has a nice shot. He's smart in and around the box. But I think that Alenia is the most complete mid right now when you think about that central attacking role. So I suspect that Valverde would have used him. I think if healthy, then Arthur starts, right? And then you have that same situation, that same point in the match, and he's looking down the bench, and you have to wonder, does he stick on Vidal, or does he want to go for offense and use Alenia? And I believe he would have made that same decision, because that was required skill set.
Yeah, that's how I felt about Alenia, that I think you would also have to be reminded that even though Alenia is the more offensive option in comparison to some of those Ben's options, it doesn't mean that he's lacking on the defensive side of things. I mean, that's not a weakness in his game, but it just serves that he is someone who is a little more forward thinking and has shown in the past that he does have not only goal scoring touch, but the ability to assist as well. And that does make him seem as his complete midfielder. And it seems like the things that he specializes at, because he's such an all-around force, makes you wonder where his role fits into a team and in what circumstances he should be entered on the field. But I think you're absolutely right. With, as a 20-year-old, he turns 21 in January, he's the kind of player that you're not only patient with, but he has this ability with his all-around game to refine each of his qualities, and every bit of improvement he makes in all of those different facets is going to make him a much more complete player. And that's why people, since he's been 13, 14 years old, believe that his ceiling is so high. And this does beg the question about how, again, not only do we want, and this is me, you know, honestly from the heart saying that, not only do we want Alenia to succeed, but I think obviously intrinsically as Barcelona fans, we want Alenia to succeed because you always want some validation for not only putting the trust, but putting all that hope that you have in the youth academy. And so the contradiction, as I always mention, is how he not only handles Valverde, the youth players, and how we see him handling La Masia players, as opposed to how he's handling other guys in their early 20s, be it Dembele, be it Malcolm, and even Semedo was only 23 when he started. But I think there is a line, and I don't want to ask you, Kevin, a specific age as to what age we should start taking, we'll say, the kid gloves off and be protective of players. But I think at the ages of 20 and 21, which is what Alenia and Dembele and Malcolm still are, at those ages, I think there still is, you know, they're not a fully formed player. There is still instruction to be given. And obviously, every player continues to get better and evolve. And I even think of Kevin De Bruyne, who it took him until the age of, what, it was 25, 26, until we really saw what he's capable of.
Which is normal.
Right, and it took a while. But for Dembele and Malcolm, and how Valverde's handling him, I feel like he might be handling them all the same, but we obviously, as Kool-Aids and watching from afar, we believe that Alenia and La Masia players intrinsically should be handled differently than Dembele and Malcolm. Obviously, that's unfair, but with that confirmation bias in place, Do you think that Valverde handles La Masia players the same way he handles those young 20-somethings as well?
So, yes, and I believe that he has to, right? I think that what we forget is that when a player comes out of the academy, they have an unusual degree of football IQ, right? I mean, if you look at the average 16-year-old stroking balls around, right, in the youth divisions, their knowledge of the game, their sense of what to do with the ball, their sense of how to interact with teammates has been worked on and honed and developed way, way from a very early age. So that means that that 20-year-old kid coming out of La Masia will have a much higher football brain than, say, someone like Dembele or like Malcolm, who has arrived at Barcelona from a more traditional transfer route. I mean, let's not forget that Dembele had this meteoric rise from youth teams at Rennes to first team, then to Dortmund, then to Barcelona. And he's always been given the ball and told, hey, go do what you do. He's not had that sort of super intensive training that you get when you're at the Barcelona school, and that is massive. So I think that Valverde, look, when he gets a young player, wherever he gets him from, that guy is a professional, and he should be treated the same no matter who that guy is or where he comes from. I think that Dembele is a slightly different case because of his astronomical upside. But there again, he's still a young professional, and he has to do his job, which is that job, right? Be the best football player he can be.
Yeah, and I think an important note is that Valverde, because he's a different coach than we've seen, and yes, he might have been a player at Barcelona, and he has been around the system and understands parts of the philosophy, but running a first team is a little different. And so Dembele needs to be asked to do what he's asked to do by Valverde, if that makes any sense, in that while the youngsters who are coming through La Masia are built with this Barcelona philosophy, moving right into the first team, you might not even necessarily have to have that Barcelona philosophy. And I think that's a contradiction. That's what gets everybody so upset and riled up, because if you think about a winger and the role of a winger, and obviously you go back to the Guardiola years more than any other, I think about when Thierry Henry came to the club. And Thierry Henry initially struggled, and he said he struggled, because in a way that Xavi, Iniesta, and Messi were taught in La Masia, especially be operating in the middle of the field, they saw everything 360 degrees. And obviously the way that we always, you know, rave about the way that Xavi could have eyes behind his head and always had a head over his shoulder. But yet when a player like Henry came to the club and was pushed out to the wing and was on that left wing, he had to not only redefine his whole game, but he had to figure out the ways that he could motivate himself to continue to make that dummy run in behind the defense. And he'd make it over and over and over again. And he'd get the ball once out of every 6, 7, 8, 10 times, but you have to continue to make that run because of the space it opened up for everyone else. And so for Dembele moving in, if you would imagine Dembele as a 10, 11, 12-year-old at La Masia, he might not have learned the skills he has on the ball. He wouldn't have become the dribbler, or he might not have become the dribbler he is, but in the same instance, he would intrinsically understand that run is so, so important to the way that Messi is still that Barcelona philosophy. If you play with Messi, you have to be able to operate on a certain wavelength. So to work with a player like Busquets, like Messi, who operate in 360 in the middle of the field, Dembele really does have to learn the importance of the times that he doesn't have the ball. And again, as a young player, just 21, moving to Barcelona, even though he was hurt last season, he's been there now a year and a half. I understand how the expectations are raising. But again, if a player of Thierry Henry's caliber coming from Arsenal has to relearn his game to fit playing that Barcelona system, even with Valverde as the coach, to fit that system with Busquets and Messi and the like, and guys who play in, we'll say, that Barcelona way, that's going to still take some time for Dembele to learn. And in the interim, we've seen that Malcolm, the best way to endear yourself while you're learning that part of the game is to track back and help defensively. That's the best way to go about that.
Yeah, I mean, that's massive. I also think that the biggest thing, so right now, and I've been thinking a lot about this because I'm working on a piece right now for the Athletic about what's wrong with this team, right? When you use air, huge air quotes around wrong. I think that when you look at the transfers over the last 5 or 6 seasons, when you look at the kinds of players that have been transferred in, how many of them have arrived ready to play the Barcelona system or ready to play really any kind of positional system, right? I mean, you have agents of chaos. You have free spirited dribbler types. You have your Vidals, your Dembele's, your Coutinho's. Really, the only players that have been transferred in the last 5, 6 years who were ready to play that system were Arthur, Ter Stegen, and then Umtiti. Right, all the rest have come in sort of playing the way they play. Now, if you're Valverde, what do you do? Do you make these players relearn the game the way Guardiola did, right, with that famous run, you bastards, run, right? Or do you understand that there is a lot of layers that you need to unpeel as a coach, right? Not only that, but then when you look at the older players, I mean, man, if you were to scream, run, you bastards, run right now at Doubles Guest, they'd be like, yeah, now I'm too old for that. No, right? And so, yeah. Right? So there's a major, major limitation right now, not only in the age of the players, but in the mentality of the transfers. What makes Dembele amazing is what he does with the ball at his feet. But you also bring in players like him, like Coutinho, for whom they don't make those runs because for them, life really doesn't begin until after they get the ball.
Yeah.
Right. And I think that that's the huge thing right now that so many aren't looking at when they consider this team and why it plays the way it does.
Yeah, certainly. And with even the players that you mentioned, Arthur, what has made him special is how quickly he has acclimated. And while Umtiti in that first season got acclimated, there was still some learning that you saw he had to do to just understand the system. And the same thing with Ter Stegen was protected behind Claudio Bravo. And so with every player, I think Arturo, as I was thinking about it yesterday, really has been a special case that I can't think of when the last time someone has so seamlessly integrated into the squad. And that is a testament to the scouting that brought a player like him and made that early contact with him when he was at Gremio and laid that groundwork long before another team could pick him up. But back to Leña, we're going to bookend La Gran Pregunta and we're going to head right into La Ronda. We're going to transition pretty seamlessly with a question from Mike. I was truly worried when Carlos Leña got injured at the end of the last season. I'm very happy to see him getting some valuable minutes under Valverde. The question is, should he be moved to the first team permanently in that January 2019 transfer window, or would you loan him out? I'm going to add this. Mike didn't ask this, but I'm going to add this. Or, Kevin, would you loan him out? So, basically, first team in January or loan him out?
Oh, first team. No question. He is ready. He is better than anyone that the club would be able to buy in that January window. He already knows the system. He knows how to play. I mean, look, that goal came from the run dictating the pass, right? That's how it's supposed to be. That's what you learn at Barcelona. And so that's why Messi was ready and Alenia was ready. They each know how to play the game the right way. No, you keep them, no question.
Yeah, I absolutely agree that I think that's the place for him. The squad is not too deep where he shouldn't receive some minutes. And there are circumstances and times to put him in. And if anything, I think his time could grow. And also injuries are a part of the game. So the squad that looks so deep might not be so deep at certain times. So now, switching gears a little bit, this will be a quick one. James asks, if you were Barca sporting director, could bring back Neymar, considering the tactical implications? And there's also a piece on The Athletic by you about Neymar, any potential move back to Barcelona, and I would implore people to read that as well. But considering the tactical implications, who would you give up between Coutinho and Dembele in some kind of Neymar swap?
Oh, man, Coutinho.
I think that answers the question enough, and that would just be
it's not even a contest.
And the reasoning behind that would be something that, again, people were questioning. And I think while he was injured, he is in a lack of form right now. I think that's another question that I'll bring up and pose to you. Is that, does it feel like Coutinho is just out of form, or is that he is stuck between two minds and not really having a place in the system that Valverde plays, or even Barcelona, where he doesn't really fit as a left wing, he doesn't really fit as a center midfielder, but he fits more as a left midfielder, and that just, it's not a position that's available in the way they're playing.
Yeah, Coutinho is weird. This was something that was raised when his transfer was first mooted, was where would he fit? He's not really a midfielder in the sense of the kind of skill set you need to function at Barcelona. He's not that winger, right? That typical Cruyffian winger, which really Jordi Alba is probably the best example of that kind of a pure winger on the squad. It's always struck me as weird that he's a left back instead of a left wing. You know, buy a left a back like, say, a Ferland Mendy, right? And then you just turn all the loose. The biggest problem with Coutinho is that he has this skill set. I don't know how possible it's going to be for him to unlearn, which is he gets the ball, puts his head down, and runs at the defense. That's kind of all he does. And the thing is, when you're playing for Barcelona, right, you have runs, you have options, you have lanes, you have movement, and you have to constantly use your head and use the ball as this extension of your mind. And I think in many ways he is a fairly limited player, and we knew that when he was coming in. I don't know if we knew how limited he was. And what's now happening is that you notice that Liga, especially right now, what the defenses are doing is when he gets the ball, they just make a wall, and one guy hands him off, and he never gets that shooting space, never gets that shooting angle anymore. So they've figured out his one sort of Arjen Robben thing, right? I mean, they've got that nailed down. So now he's just not that effective.
Yeah, I think it's tough. As much as people have been on Dembele, it seems like that just that lack of fluidity that Coutinho has, I mean, makes it Neymar in the system they're playing, as you even mentioned in your article, just continues to make sense. With as much as the off-field stuff and the PR stuff is damaging, it just makes sense to what they're doing. But speaking of what they're doing, we have a question from Ellie asking, I've asked this earlier today in the group, but I'd like you and your guests, and this, of course, coming from the Facebook group, tbpod.link/group, that's where all these questions come from, as always, especially if you're new to the show. And again, we implore you to get over there. That's how you get these questions asked. But anyway, do we really need Frankie de Jong or Adrian Rabiot? Arthur, Alenia, and eventually Puig with Rakitic and Vidal, plus Busquets, should be enough, perhaps de Jong to cover for Busi. And, you know, Kevin, I'll answer. I think I've answered this one plenty on the podcast before, but this comes on the back of these this Rabiot news really picking up this week.
Well, yeah. So when I wrote a piece a couple weeks ago for The Athletic that dealt with that very thing, I think the thing about De Jong is I don't know if he's obviously very talented. I mean, I think that many have been calling him one of those generational talents, and I don't buy that because for me, Messi is a generational talent, right? Xavi is, Iniesta is. De Jong, a nice eye for the pass. He breaks lines nicely. The thing about young players and how they develop is you just never know. And as the Facebook poster said, we have so much talent, midfield talent right now, that if you spend 80 million, because that's what it is going to cost by the time that City gets involved, for De Jong, what are you saying to those players who are waiting in the wings? What are you saying to Alanya? What are you saying to Oriol? What are you saying to Puig, right? I mean, you have to, at some point, calm down with the incessant acquisition mania that seems to have gripped this fan base. They seem to want to buy every mid who can string more than two passes together. And frankly, we have plenty of those guys now, and they're very talented. Rabiot is just a head case. I don't want that guy anywhere near my football club.
Yeah, I think we not only do we agree on Rabiot, but I think, and I've been one of the ones that I can say on this show that I've called Dejan a generational talent, and my explanation behind that is that for Barcelona, obviously the backbone and the majority of the team, as I've always believed, should come from La Masia, but then when it comes to the ages, I think of Rakitic and Vidal and Busquets, all post 30. If you have a player like De Jong that, and since then, I don't, again, I've never been one to jump on board with individual players as such, just see the team need and say, well, that's a player that makes sense for that position. But with the age of Busquets and Rakitic and Vidal, I would tend to, of what I've seen of De Jong, that you have to believe as young players, a combination of Oriol Busquets or Frankie De Jong, I think one, it's impossible to believe that that even one of them might reach the level of Sergio Busquets, but if one of the two of them does, then that puts Barcelona in advantageous position. So what I mean by generational is that I find that very few players in the world could replace Sergio Busquets. And
none.
Right, exactly. And so I think for what I've seen of Frankie De Jong, I think he is, of what I've seen, other than a player coming from La Masia itself, the best option that I've seen in the world. And now, to your point, and from your article as well, that I honestly believe that De Ligt or De Jong, it's only going to be one of the two. And I think everyone has kind of come slowly around to the very idea that it has to be De Ligt based on team need for Barcelona. Like, you look at the future of the most glaring need shortly, that once that BK might be the only one of the three center backs over the age of 30, and he's had good performances and bad performances, and then even with the knee of Umtiti, which is coming from nowhere. But at the center back position, a player like De Ligt winds up being even more, and again, this is silly because I've now destroyed the whole idea of the word generational, but in this sense, De Ligt is the more generational talent or more important to fill that need than even De Jong is because of, as you've mentioned, the other options that have fit. And so that is a balance that I think not only Barcelona has to toe that line, but the fan base does as well. And that's what makes the Rabiot point so confusing. I just don't understand. And this obviously, you don't know who this is coming from. Every link from Rabiot might just be coming from his agent for leverage in a contract negotiation with PSG or another club that we don't know about. This might not actually have anything to do. It might actually be leaks or real content. You look at the fluff that always comes out. And the second that Sport or Mundo Deportivo or somebody finds that, oh, it looks like the fan base are really buying up these papers with Frankie De Jong on the cover, well, then that just creates the buzz. Even if there is no contract negotiation, there's no nothing, there's no talk, there's no, I don't know. I think it winds up being a lot of fluff until the players are actually there. But for me, I think De Ligt is really important to not the future of Barcelona, but he's going to be an important future of some club somewhere, wherever he goes from Ajax. And I think I'd like to see him at Barcelona. And De Jong, yeah, there is talent to cover him, but there's going to come a day very soon that Busquets and Rakitic are going to be starting to phase out. And my worry is that if Oriol Busquets winds up not being that defensive midfielder, or even the ones below him, Alejandro Orellana, these are all guys that individually at each level you look at and say, man, that guy's really got something there. But again, you're running a risk that they're young as well. And just what I've seen professionally from Frankie de Jong, what he showed in for the Netherlands, for Ajax in the Champions League, for Ajax even in multiple positions, he seems to be a guy that certainly would fit like a glove in the way that Busquets has always shown, if not to his level.
Yeah, I mean, that's always the danger, right, is how players develop. I mean, certainly Busquets, before his long-term injury, when we saw him in those couple of outings, there was no question that physically, in terms of his skill set, in terms of how he went about the game, that guy was the real deal. I even nicknamed him Sergio Minor because he had that modeled game that worked in the exact same way that the game of Busquets does. Now, since his return from injury, and he hasn't been back very long, so he'll need time, but he has not been that same player, which does make you wonder. But look, let's not kid ourselves, we don't know necessarily how DeJong might adapt mentally, right, at a club like Barcelona.
Right.
I mean, don't forget that when Andre Gomes was signed, that guy at Valencia was exceptional. Fast, rangy, smart on the ball, broke lines for fun, scored goals. Right, came to Barcelona and he was a head case. So it's really impossible to know how a player is going to develop once you bring him into what's frankly now kind of a nest of vipers at Barcelona.
Yeah, and there's much more pressure, as obviously we've seen with Dembele, there's much more pressure on particularly young players brought in for a fee, because even though it's not our money, there always seems to be a, well, then that money should have been used for someone else. Even though we always seem, it's this odd relationship that fans have with clubs, that they believe that in essence that it is their hard-earned money that's going towards these young players. And if they don't deliver on that expense, then they were less than. So you can take a chance on youth players in ways that you, from your own academy, in ways that you can't with what feels like to some degree a mercenary, but obviously shouldn't for kids that are 19, 20, 21 years old to come to Barcelona. And it's been their dream as well. And there's this... I think it gets very cynical very quickly. So let's move on to some older players. Minor and Charlie, kind of will combine these two questions. Vidal's reaction was called off clearly. When he was called off, clearly shows how bad he wants to be on the pitch, battling to get a win. Why doesn't Valverde give him a full game, and who could rest while Vidal can continue to get on in the starting 11? And Charlie Barca asks, when is Rakitic going to get a rest? And that kind of goes to the point in the Gran Pregunta about the youth, right? That when is Rakitic going to get a rest, I think, is a more interesting question. And I find people are really lazy about it and just say that Valverde and Rakitic have this either this bond or this agreement. And it seems like hogwash to me. But maybe, Kevin, you see something more into this. But I asked the same thing that Charlie asked. Why is Rakitic play 90 minutes every time?
Well, because he's really damn good. I mean, I think that, look, when you look at the Barcelona world about social media, right? You get these weird kind of ripples and these waves. And right now there's this notion that Rakitic is not a fantastic mid. He is. I mean, this is a guy who went from running the offense at Sevilla to coming here and basically being a donkey, right? And even now his main role, let's not kid ourselves, is now to protect Sergio Busquets. So he is one of the more essential players in the starting 11. Now, the reason to get him rest right now, and those two questions dovetail neatly, because certainly Vidal is the guy that can get him that rest, right? That can protect that flank for Busquets, that, you know, keeps him from having to cover too much ground. You can kill two birds with one stone by giving Vidal a full match, which also gives Rakitic that rest that he will need, because moving forward into knockout stages and big matches, I can't. If you look at that starting 11 right now, when everybody is fit, healthy, and raring to go, I would argue that Rakitic is just as important in that starting 11 as anybody else.
So real quick, we got three more questions here. Andre asks, is Lenglet a viable backup option? And obviously he's a starter now. And I think let's translate that question into being, when Umtiti were to come back, and whether that be in a few months' time after recovering potentially from this knee injury, or whether or not he has to go over the knife, we don't know what's going to happen there. But would it be Umtiti or Lenglet of what you've seen so far?
Wow, that's easy. It's very clearly Umtiti. Longley is much more of a reactionary defender, right? He's not preventive in the same way that Umtiti is. And we see that get the defense in a bit of bother repeatedly in match after match. Fast-moving attack. attacks where Umtiti moves out, steps into a passing lane, and just deals with it right away, Longley will backpedal and let the attack develop and then try to deal with it. And sometimes at that moment, it's too late. So Umtiti, no question.
So we had already answered Sila Balam's question about Coutinho. So with our last two questions, Armin asked, and I'm going to shorten it. He has multiple questions here, but Armin, we're going to shorten it just to the one. Do you think Valverde will stay after this season? And this coming, Armin saying his communication seems very similar to Lucho's in his last season.
No. I think that the club will need to rebuild starting this summer.
Yeah.
Valverde is not the guy you want for that rebuild. Who? That's a really, really good question. I hear people clamoring for Setien. I hear people clamoring for Machin from Sevilla. I don't know if either of those guys are the ones you want either, but I just right now, when you look at Valverde's demeanor, when you look at the way he handles his press conferences, when you look at the decisions he makes on the pitch, it's very reactive, very short-sighted. He's not running this team right now like a coach who thinks he has more seasons.
Yeah, I would agree with that. The one wrinkle I'll add to it is that it seems to me coming from the club itself, and obviously you want to honor your legends and your veterans, but it seems like the club itself is on this, I don't know what the way, how to say, positive crash course with the fact that, you know, Xavi is going to be hanging it up this season as a player. He's already started his coaching certificates. People are aware of that. And I think, and everyone would agree, that you don't want to push him into something too early. So he is still a few years away from that. And the timeline winds up being really important here because the age of Messi, and not even just Busquets and Piqué, but the age of Messi is not going to advantageously coincide with what would be a new coach in Xavi Hernandez. So in essence, I do get the feeling that at least one or two more managers are going to be required in that interim until, we'll say, you start the Xavi era. And the problem with Barcelona with results is if Xavi starts his 10 games, his first 10 matches at the club, and picks up one win, well, then Xavi Hernandez's time at the club as a manager wouldn't last too long either. And that's been for going back 100 years that even the guys as players who were these club legends, if you don't pick up some wins and quickly, things can really turn on anybody in a hurry. And we even look at the end of Xavi's career in the last year or two when even the press called him washed up and said that Barcelona should move on. And to me, it was always sour, not necessarily the way Iniesta left, but the way Xavi left, in that Iniesta chose when to go and Xavi wasn't really given the same option. The club might have, but the writing was already on the wall based on, unfortunately, the court of public opinion, which winds up playing very strongly, or I think a little too strongly, in today's day and age. But let's get back to tactics. Okay. Well, actually, if you want to respond, go ahead.
Yeah, much too strongly. Here's the thing. I don't know. I think that Xavi says all the right things that I think a certain segment of the fan base wants to hear. But unless he learns more flexibility and less dogmatism, I don't see him being a viable candidate for that coach's job unless Laporta wins next election and just wants to try to get the old band back together, so to speak.
Yeah, yeah, and that's why I mentioned that he says the right things now as a man who's never managed not only first division but any division. So you'd think that if he's able to do some learning, and I think even back to, again, he'll be compared immediately with Pep Guardiola, but you think back and Pep Guardiola made sure with the end of his career and the beginning of his time getting into management, he went to Mexico, he went to Italy, he went all over and all these different tactics and all these different club situations. So he did his homework much beyond the beautiful green pastures of Barcelona. And he did expand himself in that way. And I think that's going to be the next step, not only for Xavi, but any young Barcelona-related manager. And Victor Valdez is looking and getting his coaching licenses as well. So anybody who's ever been affiliated with the club, and Thierry Henry, unfortunately, thrown into a situation at AS Monaco that he, you have to say, probably wasn't ready for to deal with a club that's currently completely in flux. There's a difference between Big Sam and Thierry Henry, in that Big Sam, you throw him in to fight a relegation fight, but a new manager like Thierry Henry, a guy who you can have to say is going to be on principles and not basic tactics, but believing that working hard and XYZ do a little more than just Big Sam, who's going to tell you a certain thing to stave off relegation. But anyway, we've gotten in too into the weeds here, so let's wrap this up with a final question from Rick. I feel it's been a while since I last saw Barca keep a clean sheet. What should be done so we can continue a solid defense? And obviously the clean sheet came against Villarreal, and then there was the one against Real Valladolid earlier in the season.
Yep. Well, obviously I think that the things the team needs doing, nobody wants to see, right? I mean, if you look at that Villarreal match, the most fascinating thing, or one of the more fascinating things, was that Vidal took up that Paulinho role. And that is a very important part of what this Barcelona team needs, to not concede goals, because people are old. And so every time the ball gets turned over, right, every counter makes danger, because people can't close down the same way. They can't run as quickly. So having that guy in midfield working as that Las Vegas floor walker, right, looking for trouble, looking for potential danger, that was a lot of what Paulinho did, and that's a lot of what Valverde was looking to replicate when he brought Vidal in. So what you have to have is, frankly, that midfield pit bull, which keeps those counters from becoming real. You also need to not have Sergio Roberto on the right fullback side. That guy's a welcome mat. And every attack that posed danger before his injury came from his side. And when you have his lack of pace and lack of real defensive intelligence, you mix that with the lack. Now Piqué has lost that step. He gets turned more easily. Those two things are fatal every time. So if you want to keep a clean sheet, that starts with having Nelson Semedo as your right back.
Yeah, and while when Roberto comes back, that'll be a hotly contested debate, as always, Kevin. But I'm glad we got to hear where you stand on it, and I'm glad got to hear where you stand on a ton of things. And obviously, you do make your opinion known in short blurbs on Twitter, but more importantly, you do a lot of long-form work as well. Where can people find all of your work?
So they can either visit BarcelonaFootballBlog.com. My hope is that they will also reach out and subscribe to The Athletic. They've got a fantastic a bunch of football writers over there, not just me, but it's just this amazing wealth of information, long-form pieces, and the stuff over there is smartly written and really well-edited. So those are the main two places where you can find my work.
Yeah, as a reader myself, I find that it's not, again, Kevin, I read your work, but it's not just you. It's a lot of different stuff, not just even soccer. That's where I'll read a lot of basketball news. I follow some hockey as well. And so it's a lot of good work over there. And until we get them to sponsor the show, unfortunately, we can't offer any discount. But I will say that it is still worth the price of admission. It is subscription, but I'd say, again, it's more than worth it. It's a small amount per month. But you can all find Kevin's stuff in the show notes, of course. His Twitter handle will also link to the Barcelona Football blog as well. And thanks again for tuning into the show. You can tap in your app and check out the show notes to subscribe. You can find us on social media as well. We're on Twitter at the Barcelona Pod, or at HiltonD13 for me, on Instagram at the Barcelona Pod. Our closed Facebook group is tbpod.link/group for deeper dives and discussions. And you can also help us out on Patreon to continue making these shows at tbpod.link/Patreon. And I know you always hear this blurb. The one thing I want to add finally for our Patreons at the end, I actually just wanted to tell the few of you to check your inboxes. We have a little message for you there, and as well as something that is going to be important coming up this week. So if you are a Patreon, again, check your inboxes. We'd love to hear from you. We have a few questions. And again, thanks, Kevin. We're happy to hear from you, and we hope to have you back on again in the future. And thanks so much for you, the listeners, for listening to the Barcelona Podcast. Until next time, we'll talk to you soon. And Forza Barca.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.